Dave Emery here. This is side two of For the Record program number 790. Now, about that Malaysian airliner. This is being recorded on May Day, May 1st of 2014. We're going to jump right back in where we left off at the end of side one. We have been taking a look at the links between the pilot of the missing Malaysian Airlines jet and the milieu of not only the Muslim Brotherhood, but also the milieu involved with the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002. Those revealed some very strong links between the GOP, elements of the Bush administration, and not only the Muslim Brotherhood, but specifically individuals and institutions apparently involved in funding Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hamas, and most importantly, Al-Qaeda. The Bank Al-Taqwa, inextricably linked with the Operation Green Quest raids, had an account which had an unlimited line of credit for Al-Qaeda. A guy named Ali bin Musalim had been managing that. Shortly after that became public, Mr. bin Musalim was found dead in his apartment in Geneva, Switzerland. Previously, in 1983, Ali bin Musalim was under indictment in the U.S. for working to monopolize the silver market. That places him directly in conspiratorial association with the milieu of Nelson Bunker Hunt and the powerful Hunt family of Texas. We were looking at the fact that Mr. Shaw, the pilot of the plane, and the plane was almost certainly diverted and then flown by someone not only with expertise, but someone who knew how to reprogram the flight computer in the cockpit. And Mr. Shaw, the pilot, was a close political follower of Anwar Ibrahim, who was convicted of a sodomy charge just hours before the plane disappeared. Anwar Ibrahim was a client of Grover Norquist, founder of the Islamic Free Market Institute. Keep that in mind, because we're going to be taking a look at the corporatist slash free market economic philosophy of the Muslim Brotherhood at the end of this program. Interestingly enough, there was a Uyghur, a Muslim Uyghur. The Uyghurs are Turkophone Muslims in Xinjiang province of China. We took a look at them in For the Record programs 547, 48, 49, and 50. They also have been associated not only with the Muslim Brotherhood, but with apparent Western intelligence jihadist-supported activity in connection with Xinjiang province. Xinjiang province, not surprisingly, is very rich in natural resources, and like the Caucasus, where Western intelligence elements have also been backing jihadist proxy warriors, Xinjiang province is rich in, surprise, surprise, oil. And a Uyghur professor who was in Turkey had been taking flight training and was on that plane. Whether or not that was in any way connected with it, it certainly is interesting because there has been a notable uptick in apparent Uyghur slash jihadist activity in China. That is being actively supported by elements of Western intelligence, just like the jihadist element in the also not incidentally oil-rich Caucasus. We'll be touching back on that as well. The Boston Marathon bombing, as we looked at in For the Record 773, appears to have been blowback from the Caucasus jihadist proxy warrior effort. The Sydney Morning Herald of March 13th, 2014, has an article by Lindsay Murdoch, M-U-R-D-O-C-H. It's headlined, Missing Malaysia Airlines Jet. Investigation paying, quote, special attention, unquote, to Chinese Uyghur passenger, unquote. Police investigating the backgrounds of all 239 people aboard the missing Malaysia Airlines flight are paying special attention to a 35-year-old Chinese Uyghur man who undertook flight simulation training, according to a report in a leading Malay language newspaper in Kuala Lumpur. The Uyghurs, Muslim ethnic minority group from the northwestern Chinese province of Xinjiang, have been battling for independence since they were brought under Chinese control in 1949, claiming they are oppressed by China's authoritarian government and face religious restrictions and widespread discrimination. Earlier this month, the Uyghurs, who make up 45% of the population of Xinjiang, were blamed for a violent attack at a Chinese train station. At least 100 people have been killed in the past year in violent clashes between Uyghurs and Chinese security forces. The Harian Metro newspaper quoted an unnamed source as saying that the man is not a suspect over the plane's disappearance, but that investigators were delving into his background. According to the source, the man has a PhD from a university in Britain and was recently working as a lecturer at a university in Turkey. The source said he undertook flight simulation training in Sweden at around 2000 in and or around 2000 and six. So whether or not there is a link between the proxy war jihadist activity currently embracing or engulfing China and also the Uyghur population, who again to an extent are being used as proxy warriors in the oil-rich and natural resource-rich Xinjiang province, and this Chinese Uyghur who had taken flight simulation and also was working as a lecturer in Turkey, that is anybody's guess. Again, as we looked at in For the Record programs 549 and 550, really 547 through 550, and in other programs as well, in the Going Native For the Record series, the Uyghurs have been very cynically manipulated. It's not that they don't have some legitimate grievances, but they also have been very cynically manipulated and frankly have not been conducting themselves particularly intelligently. They have precipitated some real horror shows against the Han Chinese in Xinjiang province, and that in turn has produced the very predictable and inflexible crackdown for which the Chinese authorities are well and properly known. But again, note that the Uyghurs, as we looked at again in For the Record programs 547 through 550 and in some of the other programs under the Going Native title, the other For the Record programs, the Uyghurs are being used as proxy warriors, as are jihadist elements in the Caucasus. One of the things that we are going to look at in this program is, well, there was a strange and touching and frankly tragic incident in which a young boy, well, young when you're well into your 60s, which I am, but a teenage boy of Somalian extraction managed to stow himself in the wheel well of a jet at San Jose Airport and then flew to Maui, Hawaii. He did this, we are told, because he was unhappy with his life in the U.S. and wanted to reunite with his mother, who was in a refugee camp in Ethiopia. Somalia, of course, is a Muslim country, has been a focal point of jihadist activity. I would note, too, that this young man is of Muslim persuasion. According to some of the media reports, he had not actually seen his mother since he was 2 years old. He was reportedly very unhappy with his life in the U.S. and with his stepmother. A couple of things that I find interesting about this and that sort of flagged this in my mind. First of all, the public relations activity for this young fellow, his name was Abdi, has been handled by an organization called the Council on American Islamic Relations. Court documents have revealed a very, very close relationship between CAIR and the Muslim Brotherhood. And it is CAIR, which has a reputation as sort of a Muslim version of the NAACP. In fact, it is nothing of the sort. It is very close to, really inextricably linked with Muslim Brotherhood, as court documents have disclosed. We've talked about that in a number of programs and posts, but it is CAIR that has been handling the public relations for Abdi. I would also note that the imam of the mosque in the city of Santa Clara, to which Abdi's family and Abdi belong, the mosque at which they attend services, had an imam named Suhaib Webb. I may be mispronouncing his first name, S-U-H-A-I-B, last name W-E-B-B. Webb has links with not only Anwar al-Iraqi, a great Al-Qaeda linked imam, but is also now the imam at a Boston area mosque, which in turn is inextricably linked with the milieu of the Tsarnaev brothers and the Boston Marathon bombing. We went into links between the Tsarnaev brothers and the parent elements of Western intelligence and quote X unquote CIA in particular, and also the apparent Western intelligence supported jihadist effort in the Caucasus in, for the record, 773. We'll touch back on that here. But again, with Muslim Brotherhood linked / jihadist linked elements having been present in the mosque at which the boy attended services, and with a Muslim Brotherhood linked organization handling the public relations for the family, this incident raised, it set me to sniffing the air. I also note that for the benefit of people that are not familiar with the South Bay area, the city of Santa Clara is very, very close to the San Jose airport. I would also note that the boy was able to stash himself in a wheel well and then make it arrive to Hawaii. Frequently, stowaways who have stashed themselves in the wheel wells have died. In fact, most often they have died en route, either through exposure because it gets very cold at high altitudes, and or from lack of oxygen because there isn't a lot of oxygen up there as well. Somehow this kid made it alive. I wonder how that happened. I also would note that for someone who wanted to get to Ethiopia or perhaps Somalia, he went by way of Hawaii. I'm not sure that that is necessarily the most direct route. I want to make it very clear that I am not casting aspersions on this young fellow. What I am wondering is this. Has he been or is he being manipulated by Muslim Brotherhood / jihadist related elements? I am also wondering if perhaps this wheel well stowaway was something of a test run or a dry run for a future incident. Might it be that a jihadist terrorist would be able to succeed using this as an operational template? Might he be able to stow, or she perhaps be able to stow him or herself in the wheel well of an aircraft with, say, an explosive belt, and then detonate and bring the plane down? So that's one of the reasons why this story caught my attention. Now, of the representation of the fellow's family by the Council on American Islamic Relations, again, very, very close to the Muslim Brotherhood, as we have seen in past programs and posts. The following is from the Santa Cruz Sentinel of March 29th of 2014. This is an article by Oscar Garcia, O-S-K-A-R-G-A-R-C-I-A. It's titled, Stowaway, Santa Clara Teen's Dad Arrives in Honolulu. A spokesman for the Council on American Islamic Relations in San Francisco, who had been speaking for the family, declined comment beyond reiterating a statement earlier this week that Youssef wanted to see his son soon. Abdi survived, I would add, how did he survive? A 5.5-hour flight from San Jose, California to Maui after hopping an airport fence and climbing into the wheel well of a Boeing 767. He has not spoken publicly about the ordeal that raised questions about airport security and revealed the personal family drama of a Somali immigrant struggling to adjust to life in the U.S. Abdi, who lives in Santa Clara, California, with his family, stepmother, and siblings, had been unhappy in California and desperately missed his mother, according to those who know his family. Again, the family has been publicly represented by a Muslim Brotherhood-connected organization, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. I would also note, and there is a link, I'm not going to bother reading it due to the limitations of time, but there is a link in the written description for the Record 790 to a webpage maintained by Suhaib, or Suhaib, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, capital S-U-H-A-I-B, capital W-E-B-B. He had been the imam of the mosque in Santa Clara at which Abdi and his family worshipped. And again, note that Santa Clara, California is right next to it, borders practically the San Jose airport. Of the mosque at which the boy worshipped, the following is from the San Jose Mercury News of April 23rd, 2014. It is by Julia Prodis Sulek, S-U-L-E-K, Robert Salonga, S-A-L-O-N-G-A, Mark Gomez, and Josh Richman, R-I-C-H-M-A-N, from the Mercury of April 23rd of 2014. Stowaway, father of 15-year-old Santa Clara boy, thanked God he is safe. And of their chosen house of worship, excerpting, he said he saw his son Friday afternoon while the family prayed together. They worship at the Muslim Community Association Islamic Center in Santa Clara, which has been buzzing with the news of the stowaway. Now, about where Suhaib Webb, who was for quite some time the imam, the head imam at this particular mosque, now he is in Boston. The people with which he is associated comes from an article from the Daily Caller, a conservative blog of March 27th, 2013. This is an article by Patrick Howley, H-O-W-L-E-Y. Boston imam shared ties with senior al-Qaeda operative. It reads in part, prior to the Boston Marathon attack, Jokhar Tsarnaev, who attended the Islamic Society of Boston Mosque in Cambridge, downloaded radical Islamic propaganda from the internet, including materials authored by Anwar al-Awlaki, A-W-L-A-K-I, the senior al-Qaeda operative who was killed in the U.S. drone strike in Yemen on September 30th of 2011. Tsarnaev also downloaded a summer 2010 edition of the al-Qaeda magazine Inspire, unquote, which included bomb-making instructions and which is thought to have been the work of Anwar al-Awlaki. Al-Awlaki lived in the U.S. between 1990 and 2002 when he moved to the United Kingdom before eventually relocating to Yemen, where he worked for al-Qaeda and produced propaganda tapes and other materials urging Muslims to commit terrorist acts against the U.S. And now we're going to hear about Suhaib Webb, who was the imam at the mosque at which Abdi worshipped. Suhaib Webb, imam of the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center in Roxbury, spoke alongside al-Awlaki at a September 9th, 2001 fundraiser at the University of California at Irvine, according to FBI surveillance documents. The fundraiser was intended to raise money for the legal defense of H. Rapp Brown, an Atlanta-based Islamic radical who shot and killed two Georgia police officers. Webb and al-Awlaki helped raise $100,000 to defend Brown, who was eventually convicted for his crimes. And what we're going to look at next are links between Webb and al-Awlaki, possible links, and the Muslim American Society, which is a Muslim Brotherhood front. Webb and Araki may be associated with the Muslim American Society, according to the surveillance documents, which were prepared to investigate the unconfirmed possibility that al-Araki purchased plane tickets for some of the 9/11 hijackers. The Islamic Society of Boston in Cambridge, which Dzhokhar Tsarnaev attended, and its 2009 expansion, the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center in Roxbury, where Suhaib Webb is imam, are both part of the same entity, under the same ownership, and decision-making authorities, according to close observers of the Boston Muslim community and deeds obtained by the Daily Caller. The deeds to both mosques are owned and held by the same exact group, the Islamic Society of Boston Trust, which is the official owner of these mosques and has final say in the decisions of both. Skipping down. The ISBCC is run by the Muslim American Society, which counts ISB Imam Sheikh Basuni Nehela, N-E-H-E-L-A, as a member of the board of directors of its Boston chapter. The Muslim American Society was founded in 1993 after secret regional meetings of underground Muslim Brotherhood members across the U.S. The U.S. Muslim Brotherhood reportedly, quote, operated under the name Muslim American Society. MAS leaders were instructed to state if asked that the group's views on terrorism at the society was anti-terrorism, but that jihad was one of a Muslim's, quote, divine legal rights, unquote, for both self-defense and the spreading of Islam. And what we're going to do is to take a look at some of the ideological foundations of some of these connections. It might seem strange that people like Grover Norquist, Karl Rove, George Bush, and others might be hooked up with the Muslim Brotherhood, as we looked at in, among other shows, For the Record 343, number 455, program 514. The Muslim Brotherhood is an Islamic fascist organization that was allied with the Axis in World War II. It then jumped to elements of Western intelligence, including CIA, and was used as an anti-communist entity during the Cold War. The Muslim Brotherhood has a corporatist economic philosophy. In For the Record 773, we looked at the links between the Tsarnaev family, specifically Uncle Ruslan, and a very important individual, former CIA officer named Graham E. Fuller. Fuller was the CIA station chief in Peshawar, Pakistan, when, actually, it may not have been Peshawar, it may have been, yeah, he was CIA station chief in Kabul, Afghanistan, when, unbeknownst to the American public, there was a jihadist element, a jihadist operation that was being undertaken specifically to lure the former Soviet Union into Afghanistan. Ultimately, of course, those proxy warriors bit back on the U.S. on September 11th, and we have now been fighting a long war against them in Afghanistan, which is now just winding down. Graham Fuller's daughter married Uncle Ruslan, and they founded an organization called Chechen International at Fuller's address. An article by Mark Ames from NSFW Corp of June 5th, 2013, is called Chechnyan Power by Mark Ames. Again, obviously by Mark Ames. Of Graham Fuller, it reads, Fuller comes from that faction of CIA co-warriors who believed and apparently still believe that fundamentalist Islam, even in its radical jihadi form, does not pose a threat to the West for the simple reason that fundamentalist Islam is conservative, against social justice, against socialism and redistribution of wealth, and in favor of hierarchical socioeconomic structures. Socialism is the common enemy to both capitalist America and to Wahhabi Islam, according to Fuller. And then quoting from Robert Dreyfus's book, Devil's Game, again quoting Graham Fuller, there is no mainstream Islamic organization with radical social views, he wrote. Classical Islamic theory envisages the role of the state as limited to facilitating the well-being of markets and merchants rather than controlling them. Islamists have always been powerfully objected to socialism and communists. Islam has never had problems with the idea that wealth is unevenly distributed. And we also quote from an article from the Washington Post of September 11th, 2004. In search of friends among the foes, U.S. hopes to work with diverse group, unquote, by John Mintz and Douglas Farah, quoting Graham Fuller about the Brotherhood. Some federal agents worry that the Muslim Brotherhood has dangerous links to terrorism, but some U.S. diplomats and intelligence officials believe its influence offers an opportunity for political engagement that could help to isolate violent jihadists. It is the preeminent movement in the Muslim world, said Graham E. Fuller, a former CIA official specializing in the Middle East. It's something we can work with. Unquote. Inside 2 of For the Record, program number 787, the follow-up called the Muslim Brotherhood Spring, we took a look at the Egyptian intelligence intercepts, which allege that not only was Kairat al-Shater, the number two man in the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, networking with Mohammed Zawahiri, the brother of Ayman al-Zawahiri, head of al-Qaeda. He also was controlling Mohamed Morsi. And again, according to the allegations in those Egyptian intelligence intercepts, al-Shater was networking with John McCain and Lindsey Graham, Republican senators, and U.S. Ambassador Ann Patterson. And shortly thereafter, friends basically gave $50 million to al-Qaeda. Consider the following. We're going to wind up with an article from Salon.com of January 25th, 2012. An article by Avi Asher Shapiro, The GOP Brotherhood of Egypt. While Western alarmists often depict Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood as a shadowy organization with terrorist ties, the Brotherhood's ideology actually has more in common with America's Republican Party than with al-Qaeda. Few Americans know it, but the Brotherhood is a free market party led by wealthy businessmen whose economic agenda embraces privatization and foreign investment while spurning labor unions and the redistribution of wealth. Like the Republicans in the U.S., the financial interests of the party's leadership of businessmen and professionals diverge sharply from those of its poor, socially conservative followers. And the article goes on to quote at length Kairat al-Shater, whose links to people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and U.S. Ambassador Ann Patterson and Mohammed Zawahiri, the brother of Ayman al-Zawahiri, head of al-Qaeda, and Mohamed Morsi, the now deposed Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt, we have already detailed. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 790. Now, about that Malaysian airliner, this has been recorded on May Day, May 1st of 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.